You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatto. Imagine 60 days spent zooming around the oceans, smashing through 40-foot waves, swimming with tiger sharks, and meeting hundreds of thousands of people. Earthrace is a powerboat that did just that. And at the end of June, Earthrace and its crew set an around-the-world speed record. But perhaps more importantly than all of this, Earthrace is an Earth-friendly boat. Its hull is partially made of the natural fiber hemp. The ship, the boat itself, is fueled by biodiesel made from all sorts of sustainable materials, from vegetable oil to human fat, if you call that sustainable. The crew eats locally and wears recycled clothing. Earthrace skipper Pete Bethune joins us from Norway, where he is aboard the boat to talk about the ship's environmental world tour. Welcome to Science Friday.
G'day, mate. It's good to be here.
Thank you. Tell us about this boat. What makes your boat different than any other racing boat?
It's the first tri-hull wave piercer ever built. So tri-hull means it's got three hulls, and the wave-piercing part, it's very slender, a lot of weight in the bow from fuel that we pump in there, and it punches straight through waves rather than riding over the top. And to put in perspective, we've had 40-foot waves and about 15 to 20-foot of wave over the top of the windshield as we've kind of cut through the middle of those waves. So it's a very cool boat, but there's also a lot of green elements about this vessel.
It's made partially made of hemp, is that right?
Yeah, it's the first boat in the world that's used hemp composite, but hemp is actually, it's a fantastic composite material. It's got properties that are a little bit like Kevlar and a little bit like fiberglass, so it's very good on things like floor soles where you have a lot of small impacts. Not suitable for the very outside skin, but internally in the boat it's been used in many places. So just a renewable resource, and we were keen to promote it.
Now, you spent a lot of your own money on this, did you not?
Yeah, I made quite a lot of money when I was in the oil industry many years ago, and it's that money that I've spent on this, about $750,000 US, and I've loaned another $750,000, which was needed to get the boat in the water, and since then, mostly the project has been funded just by sponsorship and donations, and people pay $5 to go aboard the boat when we visit cities and things like that.
What's a chap in the oil industry doing making a green boat?
Yeah, it's like I swung over the dark side, isn't it? I finished up in the oil industry a while ago, and on leaving the industry, I guess I was worried about the real finite resource that oil is, and I started becoming interested in renewables, and after a while it became a passion, and in the end I put together this project called Earthrace and was just determined to make a positive contribution. Initially, it was really to promote biodiesel, but what's happened through the project is I realised we can connect with so many people on different levels, and it's a shame to make it purely about biodiesel. So we've tried to make this vessel just a green example of what you can do, and the way my crew conduct themselves and the technologies we use in the boat is all about reducing our environmental footprint.
1-800-989-8255 if you want to talk to the Earthrace skipper Pete Bethune, who's joining us from Norway. You say the boat does run on all kinds of biodiesel, but your message is more than biodiesel, you're saying.
Yeah, look, to give you an example, we run it as a carbon-neutral project, and I firmly believe that something along the lines of the carbon credit system, for example, is imperative in that it recognises CO2 as a pollutant. So we've promoted that quite a bit. We promote the idea of organic foods and people eating local foods, and often the quality of those foods is better because it hasn't travelled, but it's got a lower carbon footprint on it. Just many things we do. We all use public transport in whatever city we're in, and if you compare that with most super yachts that visit cities, they all have plush limousines and that driving them around. And we lead pretty good lives on this, but we also have a pretty low carbon footprint and environmental footprint.
But what do you say to people who said, if you're really a green boat, you should have a sailboat, like Pete Seeger has?
The trouble is people don't use wind energy to get to work. They use their cars. And there's always people who will want to lead exciting lives. And the message to them is you can still do that, but you need to think a little bit more about the choices that you make. And from recycling to the food you eat and the clothes you buy and the cars you buy, these all have an impact. And we just try and connect with various people on different levels. But, you know, sailing is well and good, but wind energy, it's good for generating electricity, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm. It's like Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger saying he has his Humvee converted to hydrogen. So he has his
I'm not such a fan of hydrogen. The trouble with hydrogen is you do need huge amounts of electricity to make it, and it uses platinum as the catalyst, or the very good hydrogen vehicles do. And platinum is one of the scarcest resources we have on this globe. And I don't know, I don't think there's enough platinum to go fueling 500 million cars around the world. There may be enough to do 250,000 or something like that.
Is it true that you got liposuction and used your own fat to fuel this boat?
Yeah, I was trying to highlight the fact that you can use so many different resources to make biodiesel from. And it's one of the good things about this fuel. You know, I'm really keen on communities and countries doing their own thing rather than it becoming a global industry where palm oil is shipped all over the world. And so I tried getting some friends of mine who were quite fat to undergo liposuction. One of them ended up saying, why don't you do it yourself if you're so keen? So I had a surgeon donated his time, and he got 100 mil of fat out of my back. But then I had a couple of fat buggers who they ended up donating 10 pound each. So I had 20 pound of human fat plus my little 100 mil, and I brewed it up in my kitchen at home. And I made, it was about 7 litres or so, about 2 gallons of biodiesel. And when we launched Earthrace, that was amongst the very first fuel that went through the boat.
You know, I think you may have stumbled on something here. I mean, all the overweight people want to have to decrease their carbon footprint. Maybe they could. I won't go there. Donate. That's not the point of your race. 1-800-989-8255. Let's go to Roy in Binghamton, New York. Hi, Roy.
Hey, hello.
Hey there.
Hey, I wanted to compliment you on putting an Earthship together and challenge you to sail up the Hudson and down into to Cayuga Lake to Ithaca, the alternate energy capital of the Northeast. And helped with a very big fight we have here involved the natural gas rush for the Marcellus Shale, where they're going to be injecting lots of toxic fluids into the ground and pumping up lots of radioactive water in the process. And that would be a great thing for you to come and help us out. We're being besieged by the gas industry. It's about to turn even possibly the New York City Reservoir into a potentially hazardous toxic water going to the city.
Yeah, look, send me an email, and if you stay on the line, someone there may be able to give you my email. Or just go to earthrace.net, send me an email. It's not impossible. We are organising the tour after Europe, and it's likely we will be going to a few places in North America. So send me an email. We like visiting places where we can make a positive impact, and it's certainly possible we may be able to make it there.
Yeah, if you go to sciencefriday.com, we have a link to his site, so you can be able to find
awesome.
It in many different ways. What's the reaction when you pull into some of these ports around the world and they see this magnificent boat of yours coming in?
It doesn't matter what the country is. There's always like this, man, what a cool boat. But the reaction to the environmental side of it differs quite a bit. In, for example, most of Europe and North America, it connects pretty strongly with people. But in parts of Asia, the Middle East and that, it's more the cool boat. But the environmental messages don't really resonate so strongly with people there. And you find within countries it varies a little bit from city to city, and also from age groups. I've kind of found that someone who's of the age, say 15 to 30, environmental messages really connect with those people. But as people get older, it seems to have less of a connection with them. Just my humble thoughts on it over the last couple of years from having met so many people aboard this boat.
So you must have had some, meeting all these people, some scary moments in some of these ports.
Oh, we've had a few adventures on this. We were east of Nicaragua at one stage, and we had this. It just looked like pirates. There was 5 guys carrying assault rifles that pulled up beside us, and they called us up on radio and said, "We're the Colombian Navy. Stop your vessel." And there was no markings, no uniforms, so like they've got to be pirates. So we started to pull away, and they opened fire on us. And the first shot was fired, and I looked out in the window, and here's a guy lying on the bow with an M16 assault rifle, and I saw the muzzle flash, and then a second later, this dull thud as the bullet hit us. And so we started to pull away, and he said, "You've got 30 seconds to stop your boat, or we all open fire." And they had five automatic weapons on this boat. And so I'm just tossing up whether I stop or keep going. And then he said to me, he said, "Captain, I want to know, how many crew have you got?" And I remember thinking, it's a very typical military terminology. So I started to think maybe he was Navy. And so over the next few minutes of discussions with him, I figured he probably was Navy. And then we stopped for him, and he came on the back and he put a pistol right to my forehead. And he said, "How come you never stopped?" And I'm looking on his head, and he's got the H.A. Quintos, which was the name of the big vessel he was from. And I said to the guy, I said, man, look at your boat. It doesn't look like a Navy vessel, and there's a skanky little 15-foot skiff blowing smoke. And he was quite indignant about it. And he said to me, in Colombia, this is a very fine Navy vessel. So I get, that stands out as the scariest moment we've had. We've had a few big storms. We had one with 40-foot waves and 80-knot winds. That just scared the hell out of us. I think we've done a total of 12 storms now, and storms always scare me.
Hmm. So you must be a very big boat enthusiast your whole life then.
Not really, actually. I've had a boat for a few years back in New Zealand, but it was really just a way to go diving and fishing. And I consider myself a conservationist, and I spent a long time trying to work out what project I could run to promote biodiesel and promote, I guess, better living for people.
Yeah.
And it was just a boat project that seemed to fit the bill. And I know a lot about boats and navigation and that now, but when I started this, I didn't really. But most of it's not that hard. Boats aren't rocket science, you know. They tend to make sense. And I've been very good at bringing in talented people around me to make this project happen, and the designers and the graphic artists and all the wonderful people who chipped in their time for free on this.
Why a boat? Why not a fancy train or a big plane, you know, a Branson plane or something like that?
The thing with boats is that you've got free rein to do what you like. You can make a boat as cool looking or as ugly, as long, as fat. You can do whatever you like. And if you look at Earthrace, like, it is the coolest looking boat in the world. And it's got some amazing technologies in it. At the time, I just thought, look, I can make something really amazing looking that's going to capture people's imagination.
Yeah.
And it's exactly what we've done on Earthrace. The other things I looked at, like we're doing cars and trucks and vehicles, you're a lot more limited because it's got to go on a road and meet very stringent regulations and things like that. So I just thought this was the best thing to use.
So your message is you can be green and sexy at the same time.
Exactly.
Your boat doesn't have to be made out of papyrus to be a green boat.
That's right. There's so many different things you can do on your boat in your everyday life. Like for me, the boat is just the way I transmit this message, and we try and just connect with people. But it's about how they lead their lives. It's not just about the boat. It's about the car they drive and the recycling they do and the materials they use in their house and the insulation. All of these things have an impact on their carbon footprint, and we're just trying to promote that.
Right, and you get their attention. The boat gives you their attention, and then you that's the 2x4, and then you give your message.
That's right. And it's worked for us effectively in just about everywhere we've gone, but it connects with people for different reasons. It's been an unusual journey, this, and how different people relate to us for different reasons. And I've sort of found younger people, it tends to be more the environment. Older people tends to be more the adventure side of it.
Yeah.
Someone kind of taking on a great record and that sort of thing. But as long as they follow us and pick up a few of the messages, then we're succeeding.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Skipper Pete Bethune this hour, Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. Let's see if I can get a phone call or two in here. Let's go to Bill in San Francisco. Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
I had a question. What was his route around the world? Did he go south of the Capes or through the canals? And as a quick follow-up, was his fuel tankage sufficient to fuel conveniently with his alternative fuel? And I'll take my question off the air.
Okay,
thank you very much.
Yeah, to answer that, the route we had was you've got to go through the Suez and Panama canals, and those are two of the rules from the sanctioning body. So our route, we started in Spain. Now, this will test your geography. From Spain, the Azores, Puerto Rico, Panama, Manzanillo in Mexico, San Diego, Hawaii, Marshall Islands, Palau, Singapore, Cochin in India, Salalah in Oman, Suez Canal, and back to Saguntum in Spain. So that was the route that we followed. And sorry, what was the second question?
The question was, where did you fuel up? And did you have special spots you needed to tank up?
Oh, yeah, we had. We made sure they were all ports that we could get fuel to, and we had a single company, SGC Energia, who sponsored all of our fuel, and they arranged to ensure that we had it at all those locations. So we just turned up, and they had the fuel ready to go for us.
We have a video of your traverse of the Panama Canal on our website on Science Friday for anybody who who wants
to
see.
Yeah, it was one of the coolest days I've had going through that canal. It is unbelievable what they achieved there. It's one of the great achievements of man, and you look how much energy that saves in terms of saving boats going down around the Horn there. It's an amazing place. They had 10,000 people died building that canal.
The places that you did tank up, are they normal biodiesel fuel places, or did you have to truck them in specially?
No, some of them we had to ship it in the same as they would ship in diesel. So, for example, the Marshall Islands and Palau, we end up having to ship it there because they don't have any local supplies. Although, interestingly now, Marshall Islands has got a biodiesel plant under construction, and we met with some government officials when we were there in 2007, and it looks like we had an impact there where they're now using their own coconut oil to make biodiesel from. Yeah.
Wow. Let's talk to Kate in Sun Valley, Idaho. Hi, Kate.
Hello.
Hi there.
Yes, hello. I'm just more interested in, since we've been talking during the Science Friday about renewable resources, talking a little bit more about the hemp products you used, where you got them from. You know, being from Idaho, and one of our main industries is agriculture, and looking into how to move Idaho into the future, there's an interesting initiative.
All right, Kate, we're running out of time, so let me get an answer.
The hemp itself, it's a pretty flexible plant, and the hemp we used was grown in the Waikato region in New Zealand, and it comes like a woven sort of mat, like a material, and to make the boat out of it, it's just the same as you would make it out of fiberglass or carbon. You put a resin on it and leave it to set. But I think some of the states in the U.S., you've got some laws that may prevent planting hemp. It is related to the marijuana plant, but it's not like you get a high from it. I think you need a cigar the size of a softball bat to get a high from hemp. But I think there's issues in the U.S. over being able to plant it.
Yes, there are. There used to be the major cash crop before World War II. Hemp was used all over the place, and ropes and things like that. Well, I want to thank you, Skipper, for taking time to be with us, and hope that you have, as they say, the wind at your back.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, mate.
And where's your next stop?
From here, we're to Halden in Norway, and then back to UK for about 5 weeks. And hopefully I get this boat back to New Zealand early next year and get home again.
Well, have a happy sail and a great race.
Great stuff. Thanks very much, eh?
Earth Races skipper Pete Bethune, who joined us from Norway, where he was aboard his boat, talking about his race around the world, where he beat the world record by 2 weeks. He said you could, just go all the time. It's 14 days. It's not hard to do. Well, if you look at his boat on our website at sciencefriday.com, you'll see why. It's a pretty good, nice-looking boat. Stay with us. We're going to take a break and change gears, talk about offshore oil drilling and drilling in Alaska. So don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News.